Blog Talk Radio. You are a winner. You are a winner. As long as you stay with the word of God, you win. I read that. I read the last chapter. You win. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis B., the Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God, all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're so happy to have each and every one of you on. We're going to ask Pastor Bill to should get us started this week with a word of prayer, and we'll go from there. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Good afternoon. It's your winning season. Amen. I was just meditating on them words, just thanking God to know that it's our winning season. As long as we stay in His Word and learn more and open up to His Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for that beautiful lecture. Amen. The scripture I'd like to share is coming from Philippians, the 4th chapter and verse 19. But my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Father God, we want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you for all of your many blessings, Father God. We're thanking you for this broadcast. We're thanking you for your word, Father God. We're thanking you for the listeners and those that participate, Father God. We're thanking you for our pastor. Father God, open up our heart, open up our mind to your word, Father God. Let us have a clear understanding of the word of God. Lord Jesus, we pray today, Father God. We're binding up anything and everything that may try to come up against us, Father God, or against our pastor. We're just praying, Father God, that you will guide and direct in a mighty way, Father God, that you will break chains, that you change. You will help others to know that God is real and that we are to be spiritual and have a spiritual walk with the Lord. Father God, no matter what the world may say, we have to hold on and we have to stay in the Word so that we can remain strong, Father God. Teach us, Father God, all things. Allow your Holy Spirit to be in our lives and order our steps in your Word, Father God. Lord, we just thanking you for the broadcast, Father God. Once again, bless our pastor. Continue, Father God, to keep your loving arms around him. Build a hedge all around him, protecting him from anything that may try to hinder him from doing God's will. Lord, be with all those that are sick and shut in, for you said in your word, by your stripes we are healed. Be with those that are going through and those who are bereaved, Father God. You say you will keep the imperfect peace whose mind stayed on thee. So help us to stay in the word so that we can have that peace that that you offer, not that the world gives, but that you give, Father God. And Lord, we just want to say thank you for all things. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. We're talking about uniting together for a glorious church. Christ Church is a glorious church. And this week we want to talk about several things, but we want to talk about a glorious church. You got to know, man, it's two different churches out here. And if you can't see that, it's something wrong. You got to get born again. For real.
Mm-hmm.
You got to see that there's two churches out here. There's a worldly church. God continued to tell us, stay away from that. Don't be conformed to that way of living. You know, come out of the worldly church. That's what he's saying. And but this week, we're going to talk about a glorious church. One of our foundational scripture would be Ephesians 5, and I think 20. Well, really, we'll go from the 21st through the 28th. So we'll go from Ephesians 5, 21 through 28.
Yes, good afternoon, Pastor Beasley. Good afternoon, Pastor Bell. Praise God. Thank you for that beautiful selection. It is our winning season, and we are designed to win. Be victorious always, and thank you, Pastor Bell. Your heart felt, holy felt prayer as usual. In Ephesians 5 and 21 in the King James, sorry, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto your Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of our body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife, loveth himself. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. From the Message Bible, it says relationship. Out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Wives, understand and support your husband in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to the church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ, as he exercised such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husband. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor since they've already won in marriage. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, you ought to think about a glorious church. The next scripture we want to use for to go along with this foundational scripture is Ephesians 2:4-7. Ephesians 4:2, second chapter, 4 verse through the 7.
In the King James, it reads as follows, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible, you fill your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhale disobedience. We all did it, all of us, out of doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it, all of us in the same boat. It's no wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did it all. I'm sorry, he did all this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus our Messiah. Now God has us where he wants us with all the time in the world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen.
The early church, they preached Christ. They preached the Word of God because they were uniting and building brothers and sisters up in Christ.
Amen.
I mean, I can't make it any plainer. Christ is the head of the church. Now, I know I say that all the time, but it just never ceases to amaze me how people don't believe that. They'll say that, but they don't believe that. I want everyone on this broadcast is to believe that Christ is the head of the church. Well, see, once you start that kind of practice and that kind of belief, then you don't see big-time pastors who are really false teachers. And we may get into that this week. I want to get into a little false teachers because it just happened to come on the Internet. And you can Google the thing, too. I mean, you can Google the thing and see how many billionaire preachers. $150 million. That's a lot of money. And you got people who's hungry, people who's starving, and your net worth is $250 million, and you won't build some projects for low income free. You ought to be giving that money away. What good are you trying to preach them about your church, and you're not helping them?
All right, say that.
That's the worldly church, brothers and sisters. I'm more into the spiritual church. So I just go ahead on and put that out there, because this week we're going to talk about the church that we're a part of is not in business to sell dinners and barbecue and raffle tickets and CDs and all of this stuff, and that's how a lot of these multi-millionaire preachers are telling people it's okay, when we should be uniting the body of Christ together. Why? Because we're workers together. How are you doing something different? I don't get that. In Ephesians 2, which one of our foundational scriptures, I want you all to really think about this now and go over it. We may not get to it today. That may be the first thing I jump on tomorrow. Because I want you to know that you've been risen together with him. So if you've been risen together with him, how come you're doing something different than what the head is?
Have mercy.
Can somebody explain that to me? Your head is in California and your feet is in Florida.
Can't do that.
And he plainly tells us Christ is the head of the church. So we are to submit ourselves. And he did it already as far as he's concerned. The Bible says that when we were dead in sin, you know, playing church, he says he quickened us together with Christ. And have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, that has to become a reality. That has to become more than just words, brothers and sisters. When will that ever become a reality? It has to become a fact. It got to get off the paper into our hearts and to become real. And then we practice that. We live like we're risen together with him. Well, if we do that, and Ephesians 5 says, that Christ is the head. I mean, y'all just read that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So where's your respect? Yeah. Where's your respect for Christ?
Have mercy, Lord.
Think about it like this. Look at a lot of these marriages today. They have no respect for their husband. Or some of them don't have respect for their wives.
Have mercy, Lord.
That's what I see in that organized church world. That's what I see. I see that. I see no respect. But over into the spiritual world, people who love the Lord, that God done sanctified and he done cleansed them through the washing of the word. These people that I'm talking about is people who acting like Christ. They loving their wives, even as Christ also have loved the church and gave himself for it. I see wives, church members, or part of his body, is submitting themselves to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think he says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord? To your own head. Not to all these other heads. Bishop,
all right.
This one, that one. No. We got to submit to our own, which is Christ.
Yeah.
But, like I said, we'll get into that. But meanwhile, there's some cleaning up I'm going to do. What does the Bible plainly tell us about what the church is and who is the church? And hopefully this week we'll answer these questions. And we'll start with 1 Corinthians, I want to say 1 and 13. There was a couple of scriptures here I was still halfway looking at. But in 1 Corinthians, and bear in mind, brothers and sisters, we're talking about a glorious church, not no worldly church, a glorious church. Big difference. A glorious church operates in the glory. They preach the glory. They teach the glory, which happens to be in the Spirit of God. So, can you read 1 Corinthians 1 and 13 for me, please?
Yes. Yeah. In King James, it reads as follows. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible, I ask you, has the Messiah been chopped up in little pieces so we can each have a relic all our own? Excuse me. Was Paul crucified for you? Amen.
Yeah. See, so it plainly tells us about the church. Think about it. Let's read 1 Corinthians 12 and 27.
Okay. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 27, it reads as follows in the King James. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Amen.
Amen. Send a message, brother. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Amen.
Read that one more time, Pastor.
Okay, Pastor. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Amen.
That's who you are. That's what you're a member of. You're a member of Christ's body. So don't be trying to identify with a whole bunch of other old craziness because you want to fit in. You don't have to fit in where you get in. You don't have to go there.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I feel no type of way. You are part of the body of Christ. The Bible plainly tells you that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hebrews 5 Hebrews 5, 8 and 9.
In Hebrews 5, 8, 9, in King James, it reads as follows. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedient by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible, though he was God's son, he learned trusting obedience by what he suffered, just as we do. Then, having arrived at full stature of his maturity and having been announced by God as high priest. Amen, amen.
So you see why it's so important that we be working together with Christ to unite the body of Christ, bringing them into this right relationship. This right relationship. You got some choices, brothers and sisters, that you got to make here. You're going to either be with the Father way of doing things, or you're going to be with the world way of doing things. And this is what we got to get people to understand. Like over there in 2 Corinthians 6. Matter of fact, we might read 6, 17, 18. Yeah, let's read 2 Corinthians 6. About 16, 17, and 18. And some of these scriptures we'll discuss tomorrow, but I want to, all of that's going to tie in to having a glorious church and having the basics and understand the nuclear of this, having a glorious church. Not religion now, a glorious church. Okay.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 6, and what verses did you say again?
16, 17, and 18.
Praise God. In the King James, it reads as follows. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. From the Message Bible, who would think of setting up pagan idols in God's holy temple? But that is exactly what we are, each of us a temple in whom God lives. God himself put it this way. I'll live in them, move into them. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. So leave the corruption and compromise. Leave it for good, says God. Don't link up with those who will pollute you. I want you all for myself. I'll be a father to you. You'll be sons and daughters to me. The word of the Master God. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
He wants us to separate ourselves from them worldly churches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really clear. Yeah. Those are false gods. When you go in a building and you worshiping the building, or you worshiping the system, that's false, brothers and sisters. They're looking for certain. I went on YouTube and I was surprised. All these people are talking about their Holy Ghost, having a Holy Ghost fire. Wow. I never read the Holy Ghost did some of the stuff I saw. They were saying the Holy Ghost. Most folks, let me tell you what Satan has got people believing. Satan got people believing that most people filled with the Holy Ghost, they're running up and down aisles. They foaming at the mouth.
Have mercy.
They that's the vision Satan gave these people what the Holy Ghost is. You don't believe it? Go look on the internet. They'll put it on there. They don't mind telling you. They lying. They lying on the Holy Ghost.
Yeah,
and there is no
forgiveness
in this world nor the world to come. So they need to repent. That's not the church. That's not the glorious church. Even though Satan trying to make it seem like that, that's not the glorious church because them jumping up and down and doing all of that. That's not glory.
All right.
But we'll get into tomorrow because that's what we got to be doing, uniting people to the glory